Hello and welcome to Held in Our Hearts Baby Loss Podcast. We are an Edinburgh-based charity providing baby loss counselling and support for bereaved families. We are committed to ensuring that no family has to face their journey of loss alone, and we wanted to create this podcast to reach out and share stories, encouraging greater connection and understanding. Join us on our journey as we speak to a wide variety of guest speakers who have been personally affected by baby loss or who have been moved by it.
Hello and welcome to our fifth podcast. My name is Nicola and today I had the great pleasure of talking with Tina Bremner and Tracy Watt. Tina's little boy Angus died in 2019 and today she shared a bit about her story with her son and also her journey since her loss. Tracy has been Tina's befriender since the very beginning and they've journeyed together through grief through the many ups and downs. We discuss Mother's Day and how this feels when you're bereaved. We chat about topics such as, do you include your little one? How do you remember them on this day? And we talk about ways we mark their life. Tina has recently had another baby and she talks about her plans for this Mother's Day. As always, if you or anyone you know has been affected by baby loss, please reach out to us at www.heldinourhearts.org.uk or email us at info@heldinourhearts.org.uk. So now, let me introduce Tracy and Tina.
Hi and welcome to our podcast today. We're going to talk about Mother's Day and all the different complexities around that, I guess, for a bereaved parent. I'm so lucky to have Tina Bremner and Tracy Watt with us this morning, and we're going to just have a wee conversation. And I wonder if Tina, you would like to maybe introduce yourself, maybe, and tell us how you're involved with the charity.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Tina. I came to Held in Their Hearts about August 2019 was when we had our baby Angus. We sadly lost Angus at 23 weeks and we reached out to the charity just for support and sort of guidance because we really hadn't been through anything like this at all. Angus was our first baby and our first pregnancy after getting married, and so we were kind of in this whirlwind of marriage and then pregnancy and just follow on like a lot of our friends had done, really. And then I had reduced fetal movements when Angus was 23 weeks and had a scan and was sadly told the news that there was no heartbeat and that Angus had passed away. And so that was, you know, his sort of story with us and with the charity, and yeah, we're now kind of out the other side. But
I know, it's so easy to go back though and remember just those awful moments that you learn that, isn't it? It's hard to put into words that the shock, I think, that comes from that, isn't
it? Oh, definitely. And I think especially when you're, I think with a lot of pregnancy and how it's not so like portrayed in the media. I think things are changing, but I think pregnancy was always looked on to be this like sort of like romantic sort of whirlwind, you know, that you'd have the baby at the end of it. And actually, you know, a lot of times it doesn't happen like that. And for a lot of women, you know, I think once, you know, I'd shared about our story with Angus with a lot of people, you know, it was surprising the amount of women that came forward and said to me, you know, even at work, you know, I went through something similar, you know, albeit it might have been so many years back, you know, they still all had a story to tell. And you just don't realise, you know, how many other people this affects and, you know, how many other people have gone through something sort of a similar loss. And, you know, so
it makes you really think about it all differently, doesn't it? I think when you've had a loss, I think you then consider that 20-week scan and how actually it's for the reason to check that the baby is well. Mm-hmm. And actually, after a loss, it feels like there's never any guarantees in a way, isn't it?
Oh, totally. Because I think a lot of, like, Definitely. I think when we'd obviously, we lost Angus at 23 weeks, and so we'd had our 20-week scan, and, you know, we think everything's good, you know, there's no issues at all. And there was never any issues with Angus. It was just sad, a sad, you know, loss with Angus. There was no reasons, but, you know, you kind of think those milestones, I think, that you get to in a pregnancy that give you that sort of reassurance. I think now on the other side, I think we kind of feel like, you know, until they're in your arms, it's still really hard to get all that reassurance. But, you know, yeah. We still try and, you know, stay positive. And, you know, we remember Angus, you know, for all different things and having him, you know.
Yeah, it's an ongoing journey. I'm sure we'll touch on that, how you learn to live with them, isn't it?
Absolutely, so, definitely.
And talking of living with your baby, Tracy, I wonder if you could introduce your special boy and yourself.
Well, I am a mum to a grown-up boy, one in particular. I lost Lewis. Lewis was born at 38 weeks, and that was 30 years ago this year. And when I say that, it's quite mind-blowing, because it feels like it happened 6 months ago. But then I also know I've learned to live a lifetime without him. And as Tina said, that, you know, until you take your baby home, we know now there are no guarantees. And I was married. I've got Ian, who's 32. Grown up, and again, I expected to get married. I would be a mum to two children under two, expecting to have a hectic, busy life. But sadly, as I say, Lewis passed away after 19 hours. So, and it has been a whole lifetime of learning to live without him, but also being able to carry him. And I remember him and smile.
It's that further along that journey, isn't it? And the lovely thing about us all speaking this morning is, of course, because you've journeyed with Tina and her husband Mo, and I'm the privileged one to learn of Angus first, and have been able to be there for them in their grief, which is really special. Because for me, having you both here, you've got one mum who's journeyed, you know, many years without her son and has learned to live with him. And Tina, we look at you and think, gosh, such early days, because you the more you move away from it, you realise just how long in some ways it takes to get to a place where the pain subsides a little. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm here with my own loss. I'm here to obviously ask all the questions and hear about both of your journey. But so, yeah, for me, it's 12 years now. And what's similar to you, Tracy, is I already had a son, so he was two at the time. And then I've since had another. And I wonder if when we're exploring, that will come out, how it feels. Because, of course, Tina Angus is your first baby, which takes us to that first Mother's Day then. And I'm just wondering, and you know, especially for anybody listening, they might be able to relate to how that feels to, of course, be a mum and see all that merchandise and talking about mum, but of course not having your baby in your actual, you know, physically here in your arms.
Definitely, you know, it was. I think, so we lost Angus in the August, and then I think throughout that time, you know, you're going through that grieving process, and then you starting to think of a timeline in a way, and you're starting to think, okay, well, you know, what's the timeline for Angus? So Angus would have been born on the 26th of November. That was his due date. And you kind of think, okay, we've got till November, you know, that'll be quite a hurdle to get to there. And then you think, okay, after November we've got Christmas coming. And you I kind of actually had a bit of a false sort of breather there, and I kind of thought, okay, you know, we've not got nothing big that's gonna hit after that, you know, milestone wise and then I think it kind of took me a bit by surprise, and somebody said something to me about Mother's Day, and I actually immediately just thought about my mum, and I thought, oh goodness, what am I going to get my mum again? I can't get her another plant. Like, the house is full of like plant and junk and things like that. And then I actually just thought, oh gosh, like, but I'm a mum. Like, I feel like a mum. And I think that was the kind of hardest part, was, do I feel valid? Like, do I feel valid without my baby being here? Do I still have that feeling of being a mum? And I think I took a while to answer that question. I think I actually went to Mo and I said, you know, I feel like a mum, but it is hard because I don't have Angus with me, and I don't. And he said, but I think he put it in a really good way, actually. And I don't maybe give him some of the credit that he's due sometimes to say that he would put it in the best way. But he said, you know, you have to think of all the things that we did for Angus, you know, after having Angus, and, you know, we have spent that time in hospital with him. Those are all things that like a mother would do, even if you're just thinking of your baby. You know, it's that mothering type instinct that you're giving to your baby, you know, even if your baby's here or not here. I think those are all things that still make you valid as a mother, as a parent, you know, even down the line. I think, you know, that's for me how I was able to sort of resonate my feelings back towards being, I don't know, secure in that way, to feel like, yeah, I should be able to kind of have this and this day to think about it.
That's really interesting, because what you're pulling out is that, you know, there's the physical, they're not here, but being reminded that the love is still there and pride, that doesn't change. And actually, I always think that when you have a baby, no matter what gestation the baby dies, what they do is almost bestow this title of mum and dad, because that can't be taken away, can it? It can't be taken away in death, because it would be equivalent of then if you lost a mum or dad and saying, well, they don't have that title now. It's almost the one thing I think is in the charity we try and give that to families, that the ability to say my son, daughter, mum, dad. Do you recognise that, Tracy, from families that you speak to, that sometimes need the permission almost?
Definitely, because as you were saying there, Tina, is that when that first Mother's Day come round, it's you are a mum, you know, and it's recognising, I think for a lot of families that we support, it is that remembering that they have had a son or a daughter, and being able to recognise that when it is a very, you know, when holidays come round, you say, for, you know, Mother's Day, it is remembering that they are a mum, and they always will be a mum. And as we've chatted about, Tina, that Angus will always be your firstborn son. And that's really important for families to be able to recognise that will be the case, and not have sometimes a sense of guilt that comes along with that.
And do you remember, Tina, if you did anything on that Mother's Day to include Angus almost? Did you mark it anyway? Or
I think we did spend a lot of time like looking at his pictures, I think, that day. And I think like any other day, I think we were just, I don't know, you're kind of in that a bit of a state of sort of shock. I don't know. Like there's a lot of, I think with Mother's Day, there's a lot of, everything's in the shops, you know, there's a lot of adverts on the TV. You don't really feel like you maybe get a break from thinking about it as well. And I think although you're kind of happy in the way that you are a mother, and, you know, you had, I still see parts of having Angus as wonderful, although how sad it is, you know, it still has that resonating, like, you know, sadness behind it all. I think you kind of never got that downtime, I think, from it kind of jogging in your mind. And I think by the time the day came, I think we were just a bit like, wow, this is going to be quite heavy. But I think we went on a walk, and I think we went back to where we went after we'd taken Angus to the crematorium. And that's like a really, like, that's a big hill like behind our house. And I think we just tried to share like a memory again of us being together. And just kind of remember him, you know, again. And I think the nicest thing was that Mo had bought me a card. And he'd wrote in it, and really nice. I totally can feel my voice breaking now, but
Mark your son and that mother relationship, isn't that really special? And we've heard of that. That was something I was thinking about, is that, you know, on Mother's Day, many others do it on our behalf almost. And interesting, my son, who's 14 now, he writes Theo's name in the Mother's Day card. It's the only time he does it. So he doesn't do it at Christmas, he doesn't do it on my birthday. But his interpretation is he's decided to carry that tradition, because for him it feels like you can't not include him, because love that. I love that he's worked that out. I've never asked him to do it. I've never said, oh, I miss Theo, he should be on that card. Like, I love when others do that sort of for us. They kind of include them and say,
definitely. I remember.
Yeah, that's a lovely thing. That card will be so special to no one.
Oh, totally. It's like in a box, in his memory box. It's there. It's a really pivotal moment, because I think for us it was another first. It was another first milestone for us together as a couple. And you know, you don't really know how you're going to feel on the day. And sometimes some milestones, like when we discussed with you, Tracy, you know, some were better than others. Some of them you really build up and you kind of think, oh my gosh, this is coming. And it was okay and it was fine and you kind of got through it. But others kind of take you a bit by surprise. And I think Mother's Day was one that kind of took me a bit more by surprise, that it kind of hit me a bit harder than I thought it would.
I think you're right. I think that's why it's good to talk today, because, you know, somebody could be listening to this right now and it's, you know, before Mother's Day, or it's just been Mother's Day, or maybe even on the day. And I guess I'm hoping that they get a little comfort from realising that we all feel that. We all feel there's somebody missing on Mother's Day, even if others don't acknowledge it. I don't know if it ever goes away. Tracy, I don't know if you can comment on that.
I think Mother's Day, having been through quite a few Mother's Days, every year feels different. And again, it's that sometimes it can be a Mother's Day, it can approach and it takes you by surprise how you're going to feel on that day. It can be that whole build up and build up, as you say, and it just feels like, wow, the day's here, and it's such a release to get to that day. And then there are other times it seems to be Mother's Day is here and you've not really thought much about it, but all of a sudden it's there. It can be. It's very much.
It's like
very
different.
And it's. But then it's nice to reflect, because again, Tina, you know, it's the time when you're a family of three, and for you, Nicola, you're a family of five, and you know, for me, a family of four. So it's taking that time to remember. You're a mum to your children, and that it's so important to remember the ones that aren't here.
Yeah, I think you've touched on something that it feels different, doesn't it, in different years and for different reasons, I think.
Oh, definitely.
And the big thing that's happened since last year, Tina, is then you've had a little baby since, little Isla.
Yeah, little baby girl, yeah. Well, she's not very little, but she's here.
Oh, huge congratulations.
Thank you.
8 weeks now.
She is 8 weeks.
Gosh, so
I know it's going really fast, and she's getting bigger than when she first started. So, yeah, it will feel so different, because then again, this year, you know, we have Isla at home, and you know, that'll be a different, you know, type feeling. I think you'll have that resonating feeling with Angus, and then and today I was thinking, you know, before we were doing our podcast, you know, actually Isla's here, you know, like. You know, I'm mothering Isla like at the moment, but in my background, I'm also thinking about Angus and even thinking about where we were last year this time and how that feels. I think you're always able to kind of put yourself back to where you were before. And I think you're not trying to draw comparisons, but I think you can always feel what level your grief was, you know, at, or how you felt at that time. And
yeah,
it was the first for us, and this will be a second, and I think it will feel slightly different, you know, because we're changed as a family. You know, we're a family of four now, so it's, you know, it's moved on further for us as well.
And does that make you think about almost having that next baby, think differently about Angus in a way? Like, do you feel that then you almost have the, gosh, yes, that's what a loss, you know, because sometimes the first baby, when the first baby dies, it's quite hard to even comprehend, because you don't have somebody else who's gone through those firsts of everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Isla has really brought some of that to the forefront.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're also, you know, for a lot of our group of friends, it was just everyone had had a first baby, and it had, you know, everyone took home their baby and had a lovely, you know, outcome and time. And we were that, you know, sad, you know, story that we had our first baby and we didn't get to take him home. And I think that that was a really difficult process, I think, for us to kind of go through, to kind of think, oh my gosh, like, this really happened. I think for a lot of our friends, I think it floored them as well, because it was a really difficult time to think about how it could really happen to people even later in pregnancy, and even from discussions within the group and stuff. You know, it was really, you know, sometimes hard to hear people's stories about their loss and how far they were, or in time and stuff. I think, like we are talking about, like this year it will feel different again because Isla's here and the family dynamic slightly changed. And you know, I am also thinking about, this is what I would be doing for Angus if Angus was here, or this is what I would have done for Angus if Angus was here. And, you know, Mother's Day would have had a different resonance for us. You know, it probably this year will be maybe slightly happier, and, you know, and because I'll be able to, you know, have Isla here and it'll be different, but I'll still have that resonating feeling that Angus should be here too.
Yeah. So interesting that it just doesn't leave, does it, in a way?
No, you're so right. It doesn't.
I think everybody understands that truly. But we do sometimes hear of families, you'll know this, Tracy, where I think there's this real feeling of going, but this next baby doesn't replace. Like, it doesn't change anything. I still grieve for that baby. And I could have 100 other babies and I would still miss that son or daughter. You find that, like, there's a... almost that realization when another one comes that, you know, that's right, there's still grief to be done, almost, they're still grieving.
It is. For families that, you know, that have very much had the privilege of listening to their story about their baby, I would say that there is always that space when Mother's Day comes up, there's always sometimes that space to be able to remember their baby and to be able to really take the time, which is so important, to say, you know, your baby was here, and remember that, as you say, there are other members to the family, but you always know that it's important to be able to say to other family members, yep, my baby was here.
Yeah. So obviously with Mother's Day coming up this Sunday, I'm wondering if we could maybe give some advice, or perhaps between us all talk about maybe things that have helped us, maybe others have done, or that we've done ourselves, because there'll be some families maybe listen to this and it's their first Mother's Day and maybe a bit concerned about that, or there might be others that are family members and they've lost, you know, a grandchild or somebody, or it's a close friend, and they might also be listening and thinking, is there anything I can do to help? Do you have any ideas for that? Tina,
I think the biggest part for us, I think, was always, and I think our friends didn't find it easy either to, you know, to know whether to talk about Angus with us or not, but I think we always tried to make Angus very inclusive into our lives and integrate him. So I think we helped them by talking about him, and by showing them that it wasn't something that we would get immediately always upset about. You know, although sometimes some conversations did slip into being a bit upset, I think they always got to see another side of it as well, where we could talk about Angus and be okay. And I think if you try and acknowledge that, even just acknowledge and just even say, you know, if it's a friend or, you know, a family member, and say, oh, I know today's going to maybe be quite difficult for you. Is there something that you want to go and do that we could do together? Or is there something that, you know, that you've thought of that you kind of want to discuss or talk about, or, you know, is there a memory that you want to, you know, talk about? I think those are all kind of good sort of starting points. I think you give that person the space to be able to say if they want to, and then if they don't, they kind of can be like, oh, you know, we're going to do, you know, maybe they've got something arranged with their partner or something, and they can kind of say, oh, we're going to do this later, and then that kind of can just be left as, you know, where it wants, or it can kind of go where it wants to go as well, and it can be quite nice. I think it isn't easy, it definitely isn't easy, and I would want to stress that with people. I think even if you try and you think, oh my gosh, they've ended up in tears and I've made this such a mess, I wouldn't want someone to say that as a total failure. Sometimes actually people need to have that emotional sort of outlet, and I think you both would know that that's something you've both got great experience on, and
that's so important to talk about, isn't it? It's that how do we remember with somebody in that fear of upsetting? Mm. And of course, it's not there. You know, there's a phrase, isn't there? A quote about that. It's not in. You haven't reminded us that they've died. We know that. Mm-hmm. You reminded us that they lived, and that's mm-hmm. again. There's definitely a quote I love about that. You must see that, Tracy, with families feeding back you, people trying to get it right, and you're trying or not. I guess, do you hear that?
When you were talking there, Tina, it reminded me of a line in a poem, and the line was, "Help me to remember, help me not to forget." And that's mm-hmm. the thing, we don't, you know, people might forget. It's not that they forget, but they're scared to help us to remember our baby. So they're scared that what they're going to say is going to upset us. But the thing is, there's nothing that they can say that can make us feel any worse. So mm-hmm. but it's given us that chance to be able to remember that our baby was here, and allowing that space to exist for mm-hmm. whether that be 5 minutes or whether that be 15 minutes. But it's allowing, you know, it's saying to someone, yes, I need this, you know, I want the space to be able to talk about my baby, and letting mm-hmm. them see that, yeah, you may get upset, but that's not, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's because you're remembering your baby in the most precious way possible. And on one of the most special days ever is Mother's Day.
Mm. That's so nice, and I love what you said, Tina, about maybe they could start it off. I think that's such a nice idea of somebody saying, I'm thinking of, you know, your baby today, and call them by their name, but mm. saying, you know, if you ever wanted to share a memory, I'd always love to hear about it, mm-hmm. or maybe there's something you haven't told me about him yet that you would like to tell me. That's so mm-hmm. lovely, because it saves people going, how are you? Or
I know, it's, yeah. Like, how are you feeling? Like a really,
yeah.
Sometimes you can feel it's too harsh, too blunt, and you are trying to be gentle. Everyone is trying to be so gentle, and I think nothing that you would do would ever come from a bad place. I think that's
yeah.
You know, it's always important for, you know, it's so difficult, I think, for a lot of people to talk about these things, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think as you move on in that friendship, that's an evolution within your friendship, or, you know, even if you're a couple, or, you know, it's something that, okay, you do that day, and the next time you go back to that, it's going to be so much easier. You know, your conversation surrounding that baby loss will change, and it will evolve, and, you know, and it'll be something that you won't be able to, you know, avoid in that sense sometimes. Mm-hmm. It'll be nice, and it'll be beautiful, like your baby. And I think
you've touched on a really lovely bit, that if the family's as hard as it is, and we all know this, and you know 10 years now speaking to bereaved parents, and I find the challenge is that they almost feel they need to, or it almost comes from them to lead others. But if you find that courage to, even through the tears and even through like that real sadness, if they can find the courage in those early weeks and months to name their baby, talk about their baby, it's almost like this little carrying of others along, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And, oh, okay, well, they're mentioning this, or the same, like maybe on Mother's Day, like we do personal images on Facebook. So people can get their baby's name so that they can change their profile picture, so they don't have to talk about them, but they're like almost that subtle way of going, there was someone else, you know. And I love that. On Mother's Day, what we find on Facebook is, like, obviously because then we become friendly with so many families, you see all these names of babies, and it really warms your hearts, because you kind of think it's like this little group of women on Mother's Day who are saying, well, there was somebody else. And mm-hmm. it's like bravery to put them out there. And then, of course, it lets other people go, oh, I can now talk about this. And I think sometimes it's like social media, it can be a curse and, you know, a blessing at the same time. Mm-hmm. It allows them to kind of talk about their baby maybe and get a response like, thinking of you today. And, mm-hmm. and families I worry about are the ones that are very, very quiet with it. It's so quiet that then what other people around them go is like, oh, they never talk about their baby. I don't think I should. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we hear that, Tracy, don't we, that like in a year or two's time, they go, nobody says my baby's name. Yeah. No one remembers. And then they feel like, well, it's 5 years or something now. Do I just bring
the baby? Where am I going to go with this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's the beauty of what we do as a charity as well, is that, you know, that quite often that when Nicola and I are chatting, you know, we'll say, I'll say, oh, I was speaking to Tina, for instance, and then she'll say Tina and I'll go, Angus's mum. And you'll go, yeah, Angus's mum. So it's quite often we will remember the baby's name sometimes before we'll remember the mum's name, you know, or Theo's mum or Lewis's mum. So it's not always about the person, it's about their baby. So, you know, and that's because we've learned how important it is to be able to say your baby's name and share your baby with others. And as Nicola was saying there with the profile pictures, they'll come up and we'll say, oh, Angus's mum and dad. You know, it won't be Mo and Tina, it'll be Angus's mum and dad. So
yeah,
you know, and that's something that's very special to us as a charity and what we do.
Yeah, that's nice. And then will any of you be doing anything on Sunday then to remember Lewis and Angus? Have you thought about how you might incorporate them into your day?
I think, I don't know about you guys, but I think we've gone a bit crazy with plants. I don't know if it's lockdown or something else, but I think if Mo buys any more like packets of seeds, I think we will end up having the Beech Grove garden in our house. So
love that.
It's like unreal the amount of boxes of bulbs of flowers or something that we've bought. Our garden definitely isn't big enough to take it, but I think we're going to try and plant everything. And I think that's actually something quite nice to do. I think, you know, we're also thinking we're going to plant this maybe this weekend, and then actually in summer we'll actually have something nice that will remind us of that time to look at as well. And I think that's what we've kind of thought. So I think that's what we've planned to kind of suss out how we're going to plant absolutely everything, because Mo won't stop unless every seed is planted.
But isn't that lovely, because that planting of seeds and growth and seasons, we've talked about this as a charity all year, particularly in lockdown, because I think it's trying to get families when they're grieving in isolation to attach something that they can anchor their loss to. So we've seen some families where they've had a funeral and they've chosen a special flower, and then what's happening is as the bulbs are coming up, you know, whether it's a daffodil or a snowdrop or a crocus, you can say, oh, that reminds me of my baby, oh, and it's blossoming, oh, look, there it is, and it brings a smile. And actually, as a charity, I'll disclose to you, but we're gifting some seeds to our families around Mother's Day time, so that everybody can have that opportunity to plant something this year. Watch it grow. The forget-me-not seeds, essentially.
Oh, nice.
I've never forgotten. So I think that's lovely that you're both doing that. I love the planting thing. I'm a big one on that, like having something to nurture, I think, as well. It's like the maternal part. You can nurture and water it and see it grow, just like the love grows, you know?
Definitely. I think even for us as a couple, I don't think I know that out there that some couples find it really hard to kind of like be together in grief, and it can be difficult. And I think sometimes if you're doing like I think what we found definitely as we were grieving, if we were doing like an activity or something together that was reminding us of Angus, even if it was like looking through his pictures and thinking about a photo album or anything like that, it was actually a starting point for us as a couple to be able to share Angus, and also for us to become emotional if we wanted to be. And you know, you've kind of opened that door in a way a little bit to be like, you know, at this moment in time we're together, we're thinking about our baby. And you know, even if you're not in a relationship, it's nice, you're just spending that time, you're almost doing something mothering.
Yes. So,
and I think that just resonates back again then with Mother's Day. I think, you know, even if it is something different, that you're just planting a seed or something, it feels mothering in a way. You know, it's still, like you said, it's that nurture and grow.
That's right. And like, no matter what it is that you're doing, I think it's if you're doing it with them in thought, isn't it? So it could be going for a walk.
Absolutely.
Or throwing some pebbles into the sea at a beach, or, you know, going for like a dog walk and being with a dog. But like that way of, it's the reflectiveness, isn't it, I think. Mm-hmm.
We sometimes try to think of, you know, what would we be doing if Angus was here? You know, if Angus was here, where would we be going? What would we be doing? Would we go and have, you know, even a pub lunch? Yeah, we would have done. Of course, we would have taken Angus in the pram. We would have tried to fit it all in and do everything. And then I kind of always think, well, if that's what we would have done if he was here, why are we not doing that? Because he's not here, you know. You still have to be sometimes kind to yourself. You don't maybe want to shut the whole day away. And sometimes that can be how you cope with it. And that's absolutely fine as well if it's too hard to face. But we always had a little bit of a saying, you know, if Angus was here, what would we be going to do? And if the answer was, well, we would still go to that, you know, we'd still go meet those people, we'd still go and do this, then we carry on and we do it because part of it is remembering him.
Yeah, it's almost like often when I'm befriending a newly bereaved parent and they're facing that kind of funeral, I'll often say, well, sometimes having what would they want to see and hear can help mm-hmm. because kind of like if they were around, if they could see or hear you, whether it's spiritual or not, or just in your heart, you know, it's like carrying them and thinking, you know, what could I do today or what can I do to remember them? And I think it's like can be a tiny moment, but it, you know, I don't know, Tracy, are you doing anything on Sunday?
I think that's lovely what you're saying about, you know, it being a tiny moment because it's not thinking about the whole day. I think as we know as bereaved parents, sometimes it can even just be taken half an hour. To say, you know what, I've got through that 30 minutes of Mother's Day and I've done okay. And then it's looking at the next 30 minutes and thinking, you know, what can I do to get through this? And it can be something, even if it's not getting out the door, as you were saying, it's something like lighting a candle or baking a cake, something that you do that's personal to you and, you know, it means something to you as a mum. As a bereaved mum, and it's getting through that, as I say, that 15, 20 minutes, that half an hour, and it's and before you know it, it can be tea time, and then it can be bedtime, and you've managed to get through the day, and you don't know how, but it's that space has grown, and you've come through that day, and for me, it can be different each year. I haven't actually decided what I'm going to do on Sunday because with lockdown, it's slightly different again. I'm also a stepmom, so I'll probably see my stepson as well, so that'll be quite nice and just spending time. And he does talk about Lewis, so you know, whether it's taking that 5 minute conversation just to talk about him, but then it probably will involve a walk or a run on a personal level, so see what the day brings.
I think what you're saying there is that it doesn't really matter how you do it, so it might be that it is somebody's first Mother's Day and they just get through the day. They just breathe through the day. It might be somebody that thinks, I've been okay, and that's okay. You know, there's a lot of pressure, isn't there, to feel, and it might not be that you feel sad on that day. And it's not because you don't miss them. It's just how you feel, isn't it? And it might be that you...
I totally, because I can already feel that this Mother's Day will be different for us. I think now that we have Isla, it is going to feel slightly different, and it'll be my second Mother's Day, and you know we've grown so much, you know, within our grief, and I think you know that's the time, and I think I remember Tracy even saying to me like, time will change it, and you just don't know how it happens, but it does, and you know you'll move through it, and you will get there, and you'll be in a different place, and you don't see it at the time, but it is true, and it does kind of move along. And I think that's really important, how you said, Tracy, you know, just even spend it, even if it's just a minute or two, it doesn't need to be long. You know, I think there are, like you say, Nicola, there can be pressures that you think you should feel the whole day. And that can be really hard, I think. Yeah. It can be really heavy. Yeah. You know, there shouldn't be any guilt that you have to, you know, feel that sadness all day and, you know, really resonate in it. I think it's also okay to think, you know, I've thought about my baby today, you know, and you've carried on with the rest of your day, and that's absolutely fine as well, because you know every day has to carry on as well.
Yeah, I love that. And if somebody listening can just go, do you know, I don't need to have any rules for this, and if I have a brilliant day and smile all day and laugh with my other children, I don't need to feel any guilt because my baby's are always. And actually, do you know, we talked about this at Christmas, Tracy, I think on the podcast, is that essentially these days are just another day. You know, they're just another day. We put quite a lot of pressure on ourselves to feel or behave, and actually they're just a day. And if you want to see it as a day that you don't want to think anything about it any different, then then that's we're giving you the permission, I suppose, aren't we? This army of mums are saying you do whatever feels right for you. And I think, you know, I think this is a good place to end on exactly that note, isn't it? Is to say that, you know, if you're listening and you're bereaved, then we'll be thinking about you. We understand that there is a little person missing. And I hope you mark the day in what feels right. And if you're somebody else who knows someone that's bereaved in family or friendship or work, then, you know, there's never any harm in just remembering and dropping a wee note to say, I know you're a mum to, you know, Angus or Lewis. And I remember today, and I think that's a lovely way for people to help. Now, we always end our podcast with a little thought. Tina, Tracy, I think, knows this one. But we ask all our guests to tell us something that they're grateful for. And I wonder if you could share something that you're grateful for, whether it's generally or whether it's today.
Oh, I don't know. I was really trying to think of what would be right. But I think because it's Mother's Day and I think because of the memory that was attached to it, I think for what Mo did for me last year and when he bought me that card and that memory and that attachment. So I think I'm grateful for him acknowledging Mother's Day was a pivotal moment for us as a couple. And I think that is something that I'm grateful for both of us, that we have each other. And I know that that's not the same for everyone. But, you know, with the charity, with everything, you can find that, you know, even with Tracy, you know, we've got this friendship bond and nothing's off limits and it goes no boundaries. And, you know, if you're struggling on that Mother's Day, you can reach out to yourselves. And I think that that's really important to be grateful for each other. So I'm grateful for him this time round, and yeah, we'll be forevermore probably.
That is just lovely. I could feel myself welling up when you were saying that because it's
sorry. Me too.
Oh gosh, yeah. What about you, Tracy? Something that you're grateful for?
There's a lot of things I'm grateful for, but I was actually thinking there as we were chatting, I am, you know, this pandemic has seen so many changes in so many people's lives. But the one thing I'm actually grateful for is technology. Because, you know, we've not been able to see each other in the flesh, we've not been able to hug, but we've had the chance to be able to still stay connected. I think through Zoom and through the podcast, we're able to still, you know, listen to each other. It's different, but, you know, 30 years ago, this wouldn't have been available, and I'm very grateful to the fact that we have this technology to stay connected with each other. I'm definitely grateful for the people who are the brains behind all the technology that's enabled us to stay connected with our families.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, that's lovely. We're grateful for the connections and I'm grateful that we can be there for others. And of course, I'm incredibly grateful to you, Tina, and for sharing your beautiful Angus with us, and to you, Tracy.
Thank you.
With us today. It's always such a privilege. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Tina and Tracy for talking so openly with us today and sharing their experiences since the loss of their sons Lewis and Angus. It was great to explore ways we remember our babies around Mother's Day, and we hope it might help others who are listening. Please remember we're here and you're not alone. Please visit www.heldinourhearts.org.uk or email info@heldinourhearts.org.uk. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Thank you.